You're listening to the SEO Mindset Podcast. Now, we are not your typical how to do SEO podcast. No, we are not. With the help of our guests, we cover those all important topics around career development, personal growth, and mental health for those working in the SEO industry. You got to be working on your own internal algorithm. Like what we did there. So if you like the sound of our podcast and you think this is a bit of me, shall we crack on with this week's episode? A whopping 8 out of 10 people don't feel fulfilled in their life. Let that sink in just for a moment. 61% of respondents in a UK survey found that people lack motivation and just want more from life. Does that resonate with you? Can you relate? Be really honest with yourself. This week, we're talking about stepping outside of your comfort zone. Question to you right now, what's that one thing you really want to do? You really want to do, but you just keep putting off. Well, by the end of this episode, you'll make no more excuses and feel excited and motivated to, well, just bloody well do it. Make sure to listen to the end, as we'll give you that one action that will make what seems impossible possible. Very, very excited to play you the episode. But before I do, if you like what me and Tasmin are doing with the SEO Mindset Podcast, you can give us a one-off donation, which costs the same as a drink from your favorite coffee shop. Okay, are you ready to finally step outside of your comfort zone? Finally do that one thing that you always wanted to do? Yes? Well, let's get cracking. Hi, it's me, Sarah.
And it's me, Tasmin.
Tasmin, are you a risk taker? Do you step outside your comfort zone?
Definitely more now than I used to. Spent many, many years staying very safely in my comfort zone and realised that it didn't get me the things I wanted to. So yes, more so now.
Lovely, lovely. Yes, because if we step out of our comfort zone, that's where we're growing and that's where opportunities happen. Do you think that I am a risk taker?
I think I know for a fact that personal growth is really important to you and it's really important for both of us. That's why we're doing what we're doing. But yes, but you know, we all have places where we shy away from it and it feels uncomfortable, but I'll put you down as a risk taker. What do you think about yourself?
Well, interestingly, so if I look at mine and Tash's personal relationship, I would say I was more risk averse. So Tash is a risk taker, whereas I'm a bit more risk averse. So it takes me a while to, if I want to do something, I know that I'm going to end up doing it at some point because, like you said, growth is important. But I kind of need to like sit with it or make a plan or think about it. I can't just jump in the deep end. Whereas Tash is a little bit more, let's try and do this thing and we'll figure it out afterwards. Where I'm like, no, let's, before we like jump straight into the water, let's dip our toe and see how cold it is. Do you know what I mean? However, if there is something, so if something really intrigues me and something is like niggling in the back of my brain and it's like, oh, I want to try it, I tend to do it. It just takes me a while. I'm always fond of the saying, or I've heard people say this, it's much better to try something and hate it rather than always wondering why. And again, someone pointed out to me, I don't know who it was, but if you don't like something, you don't have to do it again.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, interesting. And if I think and reflect back to my experiences, the thought of doing something is always worse than actually doing it. So, for example, I remember the first time I was invited to talk at Brighton SEO. And yeah, it was quite bonkers, actually, because I received an email from Kelvin back in the day. This was a few years back, and he was inviting me to talk. And what was really interesting is because I knew that I was going to do it, but I wasn't quite ready, it took me a while to convince myself. Because if there's an opportunity for growth and there's an opportunity for me to do something, I will commit. But if I'm not ready right there and then, it takes me a bit of time to like soften into it. And of course, like, I remember being really nervous before getting on stage, and you go into that downward spiral of, oh, what if I step on the stage and I trip? What if I stand on stage and I have no idea what I am talking about? My brain goes blank. What if, this is a bit comical, but what if I stand on stage and my trousers fall down? Like, you do all of this stuff in your brain, don't you? But what was really interesting was none of that happened. I went on stage, and after, like, there was a bit of nervousness, but after I got into it, I bloody well loved it. I've said bloody a lot on this episode, so I do apologize. And I was quite sad when I had to come off the stage, because I was like, oh no, I enjoyed that buzz. I enjoyed that. But it's interesting because, like, for some people, the fear and the, oh, the what if, and oh, what if this happens? What if that doesn't go quite to plan? That gets in the way of actually trying stuff. I don't know if you've got a similar experience that comes to mind.
No, I think I'm more like Tash. I just jump in and figure it out later. So the first time I pitched for Brighton, I'd never spoken at a conference before, got accepted, figured it out. Recently, scared of flying. My cousin said, do you want to meet me in Bangalore? I said, yeah, okay. But then was petrified of getting on the plane. I was literally crying before I boarded. No. I was crying. But I had a plan of what I was going to do if it all got too much. And bizarrely, you know, it's still troublesome. But I was flying to Italy recently, and there was one person who was the worst at being scared about flying, and the second worst person was me, and I got lumbered with looking after her. But, you know, I'm really keen to hear what you've got to say about comfort zone and, you know, what's going on in our minds while all of these emotions are taking over.
Well, Tasmin, did you know that there is actually science to stepping outside your comfort zone?
Tell me more.
When I was researching this topic, I was surprised that there was actual science, like someone or a group of people have done research into this. So I'm hoping that I'm saying this right, but the Yerkes-Dodson law is a psychology, I can't say the word.
Psychological?
Psychology principle, I think, psychology. Is what I'm trying to say. But basically, this principle could be seen as the Goldilocks rule for performance and fulfillment. So what we said right at the beginning of the episode, right? And the idea is that there's a sort of scale. So too little excitement, you're bored, uninspired, nothing gets done. You just stay very much in your comfort zone because you know that's familiar and it's very routine. Too much excitement and you're frazzled, stressed, everything falls apart. It's stressful and you burn out and it's not nice to be in that zone. However, there is this beautiful sweet spot in the middle. And the idea is with just the right amount of buzz and excitement, so it's not too little, it's not too much, there's a sweet spot in the middle where actually we need a little bit of excitement, we need a little bit of that uncomfortable feeling, because that helps you like stay more focused, be more sharp, have excitement, see it as any challenges, it's an opportunity. So there's actually a, yeah, so there's research into this that shows that there is this graph, there is this curve, and yeah, it's the Goldilocks principle. So what do you think to that?
It's so true. Another way of looking, another person who's done a lot of work in this area is Tony Robbins, where he talks about the six human needs. And one of those human needs is certainty, and one of it is uncertainty. So we want a certain element of certainty in life, but that is predictability, routine, staying in our comfort zone. But if we did the same thing every single day, we would get bored. And that's where you need a little bit of uncertainty and you need that excitement. And it's, if you want to grow, you need to be more in that uncertainty bucket. We've all got different levels. There's other, you know, there's another four needs as well. One is love and connection. One is contribution. I mean, I'll get the link in the show notes. But it's knowing, I think it just even being aware of it, that if I spend more of my time in that uncertainty bucket, or as you said, in that sweet spot, that's where I'm going to grow. And if you want more from life, then you have to be in one of those two.
And we'll make sure, because there's lots of studies, research, and things that we're talking about. So check out the show notes if you want to read more into it. But it does make sense, doesn't it? Because if the times where you feel a little bit nervous, it's because you're in unfamiliar territory, aren't you? And you don't quite know what to expect. And yeah, I think people shy away from that because people don't feel comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. And it's actually about learning about that. And I remember, I have a memory from my childhood where my mum would always encourage me to try things, and she used to always do it in like a loving and supportive way. Like, she wouldn't like push me out the door and be like, "You're doing this, Sarah, and you're gonna bloody well enjoy it." It wasn't like that, but she would encourage me. Like, so say I saw something, or I showed an interest in trying something, she would encourage me to do it. And if I had a wobble, or I was like, "Oh, I don't want to," she would always be like, "Go and try it, Sarah. I'll be in the car outside. I'll be sat here waiting. And if you, after a couple of minutes, after you've given it a go for 5-10 minutes, and you really don't want to be there, just come back out and we'll go home." But I think that's a lovely way of sort of thinking about it. Like, anything that you try, you don't have to like everything, and it's okay not to like everything, and you don't have to do it again. I think sometimes we get into our brains, don't we, and get into our minds about it, and we think, "Oh well, we've committed, like I've got to do this thing for the rest of my life." Why? If you've just got to try stuff. And there is a lovely analogy to the sweet spot, and it's going to relate to food. Are you ready?
Yep. Okay. Always.
So think of it like adding seasoning to your food. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you add too little, that food is going to be bland. It's probably not going to be very tasty. You're not going to get much fulfillment. See what I did there? You're not going to get much fulfillment out of it. If you add too much seasoning in, it's too salty, it's too peppery, whatever seasoning you're going, if you go too much, it's going to be inedible. Yeah, you're not going to be able to do that thing because you won't be able to eat the food just because it's too much. However, in the middle is that sweet spot where you've got the seasoning just right, because it enhances the flavors, it enhances the food. And that's what we're talking about. If you get the sweet spot, it can enhance your life, it can enhance your career, it can enhance your personal growth. Yes, you're going to feel a bit uncomfortable while you're trying something, but that's fine. It's new. You're going to feel uncomfortable. But yeah, I thought that was a good analogy.
And going on from that analogy and understanding what's going on in your brain, the brain doesn't want you to do new things because it's conserving energy. And the way it does it is that it says, oh, when Tasmin does that thing, she feels scared. And we're just going to build that into her algorithm. That's what she does. So whenever she does something different, it feels uncomfortable. So she won't do it. So let's make her feel uncomfortable. So, the brain isn't there to make us go off and do great things. It wants to keep us safe and
Yes.
conserve energy. So even the language that we use when we say, I feel uncomfortable, no, it feels unfamiliar, but unfamiliar doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means unfamiliar. And sometimes you've got to try things various times. So going on with your food analogy, when people are weaning children on new foods, they say they need to try it. I think it's 8 times before they get a taste of it. So the first time you give something a go, if you don't like it, try it again. Try it again. Obviously, it depends what it is, and everyone's got to gauge what's right for them. But we try new things so you can have that fulfillment that you're seeking. If it doesn't work first time, give it another go because your brain needs to get used to you doing that other thing. But one thing I want to say about the comfort zone, people assume that what's inside the comfort zone is nice. It's not always nice. Actually, we can get very comfortable being moany. We can get very comfortable playing the victim. We can get very comfortable feeling in a place of lack.
Or everyone else gets the experiences, everyone else gets the opportunities. Oh, look at what this person's doing on LinkedIn. That's never for me. I don't get those experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
And
true.
there've been studies shown that people who have come from, a situation where they're not financially abundant to winning the lottery, so many of them end up back in that position because that was where they were comfortable. Doesn't mean it was nice, but that's where they were comfortable. And their habits and their actions and their identity caused them to do things that then got them back into that place.
You're so true. You're so true. And I think we just need to end part one by saying that actually staying in the comfort zone is actually bad for us, isn't it? Like, it might not be nice, it might not be a nice experience, but you're just staying in it because it's what you're used to. But actually, if we want to progress, if we want to grow, if we want to develop, we need to step out of our comfort zone. But I will say one thing, Tasmin. I have tried mushrooms more than 8 times and I still hate them.
That's fine. I don't like aubergines. I always, if there's a new recipe, I'll always give it a go, but I'm not a big aubergine fan.
I
Sorry.
don't like aubergines either. I like a courgette.
Slimies.
Like, because I feel like you either put courgette or aubergine in like dishes and stuff. And I enjoy a courgette because I think there's a bit of bite to it. But aubergine is a sloppy mess.
It's like snot. In a purple wrapper. I apologize to all of the listeners. That was uncalled for.
I think you've ruined
Oh dear.
aubergine for everyone now, Tasmin.
Yes, sorry, sorry, sorry.
Sorry,
Aubergine
love.
sales suddenly plummeted on the 4th of October, and the world does not understand why. Oh dear.
Tas, oh, you're making me cry with laughter. Right. So, we are going to take a short break now, but please, please join us because hopefully during part one, we have encouraged you. That was the idea, to really encourage you and to be like, do you know what? I'm done with staying in my comfort zone. It is not serving me. I am going to step out of the comfort zone. But I get that that is scary. I get that that is overwhelming. So join us for part two, because in part two, I'm going to be giving you lots of lovely implementable, actionable tips and strategies so you can actually do it. Does that sound good, Tasmin?
Sounds brilliant. Looking forward to it.
Hi, Tasmin here. Are you looking to take your career to the next level? Be more visible, earn more, but also take care of your well-being and have work-life harmony? Well, I can help you because I'm offering you a free 30-minute consultancy call. Together, we can go through where you want to be and how to get there. Simply click in the link on the link in the show notes, fill in a form, and I'll get back to you.
It's your pal Sarah here, just popping on to let you know how you can support the podcast. For the same price as a Starbucks, Costa, or your favorite local coffee shop coffee, you can give us a one-off tip or a monthly donation. All you got to do is follow the link in the show notes. And also, have you subscribed to the podcast? If not, why the heck not? If you do subscribe, you receive notifications whenever a new episode is available and ready to listen to. And while you're there, why not leave us a cheeky 5-star review or rating? I'm so excited. The live podcast is back, folks. That's right. The SEO Mindset and Search with Candor podcast are collaborating again. That means myself, Tasmin, and our dear, dear friend, Jack Chambers Ward, are recording a podcast episode in front of a live audience the night before Brighton SEO. So that is Wednesday, the 22nd of October. We kick off at 7 o'clock, and the title is Social Health is the Key to Career Success. So come along to discover how nurturing social connections and being intentional with your inner circle can help and elevate your professional career and journey. This is a free event. There is no cost to attend. And we'll also be throwing in free food, snacks, and drinks. The last couple of events have sold out, and we ended up with a waiting list. Bonkers, I know. So if this sounds a bit of you, so if you're going to be attending Brighton SEO, or you live in or around Brighton, so you don't have to be attending Brighton SEO conference to come along to our event. So if you're around and you fancy coming along, grab your tickets today before they all go. We'll pop a link in the show notes so you can do that. We very much look forward to seeing you all there on the night. Tasmin, do you think we've done our job here? Do you think we've encouraged our listeners to step out of the comfort zone so they're eager to know the steps?
I hope so. I know I've definitely discouraged them from beating aubergines. But I hope so, because you know what? You asked me whether I was somebody who stepped out of my comfort zone, was a risk taker. And for so many years in life, I wasn't. And then you think, oh no, like life's running out. I want to do this stuff. And if I don't step out and deal with the unfamiliar, I don't get to do this cool stuff. Like being on this podcast, for example. Never done a podcast. And was it scary? Yes. Am I having fun? Yes. But it took a while.
Well, there you go. So let's say you want to step outside your comfort zone, and maybe it's public speaking, and that could be at events. Maybe it's starting a podcast or going on a podcast. Maybe you want to learn a new skill. Maybe you want to upskill in your SEO career. Or maybe you want to take on a new role. So maybe you at the moment are an SEO consultant or executive, and you want to move to a more manager role. Maybe you want to manage a team. Perhaps you want to freelance, right? Maybe you want to go out on your own, and you've either been working in-house at a company or agency side, and you're like, right, it's now time for me to take that leap and try something on my own. That this is something that I am all too familiar with, because I started my own freelance thing over a year ago now. Or perhaps it's just something as simple, but it I say simple, but it's not simple. But maybe it's something like you want to ask for a pay rise or you want to ask for more responsibility at work. Do you know what I mean? So there's lots of different times that we can step outside of our comfort zone. But to do that, we need steps. We need to know how to do this in a safe way. Because yes, we're not calling it uncomfortable, unfamiliar. That's what we're calling it, isn't it?
Can I give another suggestion of a time where you may step out of your comfort zone?
Of course, go.
Maybe you want to write a course.
Okay.
Sarah McDowell.
I feel targeted. I mean,
just putting it in the mix. Resume.
Write a book.
Assume what you were about to say.
Write a book.
Yeah.
Everyone's writing a book.
That, yes, I've got... I've got something to share about that later as well.
Ooh. Okay, so step number one, make a plan. Now, I know that there are people out there, and you might be one of these people who are like, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to jump in, see what happens and figure it out afterwards. If you have the urge to do that, I don't want to stop you because obviously we're stepping out of our comfort zone and that's fine, but having a plan will help. Having a plan will help with overwhelm. It will help that you don't go into panic. So if we think about the Yerkes Dodson law, there's the sweet spot, isn't there? So if we don't have a plan and we just go for it, we might go too much. We might go too hard too soon, and that's where we go into panic. So if you make a plan of, okay, this is the end goal, this is what I want to do, and chunk it down, make small steps, because also it might seem really big. So for example, if you want to start public speaking and you've never done it before, where do you bloody well start? That might feel very overwhelming to go from 0 to 100. So make a plan and do small steps and chunk it down and get going. And it could start with step one of your plan could be research conferences that I want to talk at. Or it could be go on YouTube and get inspiration for speaking. Look at what others are doing. And then carry on with those steps until you've got your end goal. Tasmin, thoughts on step one?
No, I love, you know, breaking this down into small steps is, yes, I will dive in. But then when I do build a plan, then it is with teeny tiny steps, because then it becomes manageable and also helps with my consistency. So happy with that step.
Step number two. Be self-aware. We bang on this all the time. Bang on this? We bang on about this all the time, don't we, Tasmin?
We absolutely do. It's so important.
So when you are going through the motions, when you're going through the steps of like doing this thing that you're really excited about and you want to do, be really self-aware. When are you bored and unmotivated? Yeah? Like, because during those times, those steps might be really important to the end goal, and it's just you're going to have to do it. So there are ways that you can get your adrenaline up, can't you? So if there's a task that you don't really feel that inspiring to do, but you know it needs to be done because it gets you to the end goal, what can you do beforehand? Can you go for a brisk walk outside to get air on your face? I don't know, could you do 10 jumping jacks before you sit down and do the work? But have a think of, like, before you do that job, get that adrenaline up first, because then you can come at it from a different place. Also, when are you pushing too hard? Yeah, be really self-aware about that. When is it going from the sweet spot of the curve into the panic mode? Because then you need to take a step back, have a breath, have a breather, and do something that will help you calm you down. So maybe that is some breath work. Maybe it's having a sit down with a cuppa and visualizing and being like, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Let's take it back. Let's have a little breather here. reach out to your cheerleaders. Who's your support network? Who can you go to help you? Thoughts on step two? I saw you pull a face at one moment.
Because you talked about, you know, how do you feel motivated? Motivated will help you start the thing, whether it's writing the book or doing whatever. But it's not going to be there all of the time. And it's really, really hard. And if you're going to rely on motivation, it's going to be really hard. I think one of the things that I've been trying to do more, I have been prioritizing more. I'm changing the way I say that. I'm trying not to say try anymore. I just said it again. Crikey, early. Is walking. And I've had a problem with my foot, been unable to walk. But yesterday, my friend and I, it was chucking it down. And I said, no, I am going for a walk. And she also joined me. And she said, actually, that the hardest part is just getting out of the door, which takes like 2 seconds to get out of the door. You know, putting your shoes on and getting out of the door takes 1 minute. So you just have to get through that 1 minute and then you're fine. So if this is writing a book, there is a certain amount of discipline that is needed to get done the thing that you want to get done. And I feel that discipline is a word people don't seem to like these days. And unfortunately, to get done what you want to get done, you're going to need a certain amount of discipline. Sorry.
Yes. And you just got to think about the end goal as well, haven't you? So yeah. Discipline, yeah, you need discipline and you need to hold yourself accountable. So maybe you can find some accountability people. So let's say you're talking to your friends or people at work or people that you can lean on, and you can be like, I want to do this thing, but I need a bit of accountability. And they might be like, I'm doing this thing and I need a bit of accountability. So maybe you could sort of meet once a week on like a Friday or a Monday, and that will give you the accountability, because each time that you meet with your accountability pals, how many times have I said accountability? But you're going to have to show up with what you've done, right? So that
absolutely
might help.
Yeah. I think be really excited about what you're trying to create, like really excited, because that's going to pull you forward. But accountability is so important.
I like it. And discipline, I'll say it again, people don't like it, you need it. Step number three, see challenges as opportunities. So we have already reworded uncomfortable to unfamiliar. So rather than seeing challenges and challenges, see them as opportunities. Fears that come your way, obstacles that come your way, like these things are going to happen, and you can't always plan because you don't know what to expect. But just keep visualizing the best outcome. And if you run into a blocker, like go and ask for help. So there's lots of fabulous communities out there. Me and Tasmin are part of the Women in Tech SEO community. And times where I'm stuck or I don't know an answer to something or I need a bit of support or help, I've asked that community. I've also given back to that community where I can as well, where I've tried to answer questions or support in ways that I can. But like challenges are part and parcel of life, especially when we're stepping outside of our comfort zone and we're doing something new for the first time. Like there might be obstacles that we need to overcome, but just be kind to yourself and let yourself time to figure it out and figure out the plan to come over that obstacle.
I completely agree with you, and I would actually go one step forward. Every challenge, every opportunity, every step that you take doing something different is changing you and teaching you something that is going to help you further along the journey. So one of the things that if you visualize a mountain and say you wanted to get to the top of the mountain, Mount Kilimanjaro, I use that because my brother just climbed it. you could get helicoptered to the top of that mountain, but once you got off it, you would die because your lungs would not be able to cope with the change in altitude. But if so, that would be seemingly the easier way to get to the top, but the easier way would kill you. But if you climb with every step that you're taking, that is a tough thing to do, your lungs are getting acclimatized. And that acclimatization process is what's going to get you to the top and keep you alive at the top. Mm. So when you are going on a journey into the unfamiliar, out of your comfort zone, something might feel hard. The discipline might feel hard. The learning a new skill might feel hard. But everything is preparing you for the place that you need to get to, the ultimate place, the ultimate you. So don't avoid the hard. Know that it's helping you grow.
That's a really good way of thinking about it, isn't it? Like, shortcuts exist, but are they actually going to help you, or are they going to end up tripping you up in the long run? Probably, because you need, it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
Step number four, get out of the mindset that people want you to fail. That is not how people are wired. I mean, if there are people that want you to fail, they might be a bit narcissistic, and that's a whole different topic. But like, example of this is when I went back to my first ever Brighton SEO talk, I had to remind myself that, like, people who are going to watch your talk, they're not wanting you to fail. They're not wanting you to not do well. They're there to support you. Because I remember when I first went to Brighton SEO and I went to my first talks, I had so much admiration for anyone getting on the stage. And I was their cheerleader without them probably knowing it. But I was proud of them. And like, just getting on that stage, that is bloody scary for the first time. So just doing that, like, is already like, yeah, I've got so much respect for you. So people don't want you to fail. Like, and remember that people always show the best versions of themselves online. So you might see that people are always succeeding and they've got their stuff figured out and they always win, but you don't know what they've had to do, the steps that they've had to take to get to that success. They've probably failed along the way, and you've got to be okay with failure. You've got to be okay to fail, because if you don't fail, then you don't learn. So if I look back at my career in SEO and podcasting, most of my biggest lessons and most of my biggest improvements have come from failing, because I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. It's like touching a hot pan. You burn yourself. You're not going to do it again, are you? And I think we need to come out of our brains a little bit and be like, it's okay to fail, and people don't want us to fail. Actually, people are there to support. And if there is anyone that does want you to fail, they are toxic. Get them out of your life. You don't need them there.
And to be honest, most people, I mean, obviously, if you're at a conference, people are listening to you, they're going to be rooting for you. And Brighton's great for that. But day to day, most people don't even notice what you're doing. Honestly, just they've got enough on their plate. They've got enough going on. They're not going to notice whether you launched something and it didn't quite work, or you tried something and it didn't quite work. Your job is to take that experience really quietly with yourself. Okay, next time, what am I going to do differently? That's your job. Your job isn't really to worry about what everyone else is doing.
Because just, everyone's just worrying about their own stuff, aren't they?
Give yourself a break and do the thing you want to do.
And then my last two steps are, so I've already talked about finding your cheerleaders, finding people that you can lean on, surrounding yourself by positive people, but you've got to be really intentional with this. Like, when you are trying something different, I would very much urge you to find people that are like you, or are trying to do the same thing, for example. So Brighton SEO, doing a talk for the first time, finding other people that you can connect to that are also speakers, because you know that you're all trying to do the same thing and you're all stepping out of your comfort zone in that way. Being intentional with people who surround you is really good, because it can help with your growth. Because if you stay with the same types of people that are in your comfort zone, they're not going to push you. They're not, because they just don't, they won't get it. They won't understand. They're like, no, we're staying in our comfort zone. This is what we like. So be really intentional with who's around you. Be really intentional to those people that drain or who are toxic. That gut feeling that you feel when you're with them, your gut is giving you that feeling for a reason. And it comes back to self-awareness. And bloody well, I've said it again, celebrate your wins. Every step of the journey, see it as a milestone that you can celebrate. Because I think sometimes we're just so focused on the next thing that we want to achieve that we forget about looking back, reflecting and celebrating that thing that we've achieved.
Absolutely, 100%. You talked about choosing the people really wisely who surround you. I read something recently that's really resonated. There is this saying that you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And this research took it a step forward. List the five people that you spend the most time with, and then for each of them, give them five characteristics. So person one might be very solution focused, or their perspective might be great, or they might, be really good at tech, whatever it is. Do that for all five, and then look at those 25 words. That's the energy that you're spending the most time with. And ask yourself, is that the type of energy I need in my growth journey? Now, I've done it a bit more intentionally. I recently joined a group coaching program for 6 months. It's women entrepreneurs. And although that all of them are doing different businesses, they have a collective 25 words of stuff that's really helping me. And if somebody has got characteristics that are not going to, then... So it's not about having the same type of people.
Mm.
It's having that collective, varied, uplifting, encouraging, growth-inspiring energy.
Mm. So true. So true. And, yeah, just because someone's in your life doesn't mean that, well, you can just be wise, can't you? So if you know that someone isn't right for you, or they don't give you the right feelings or the right, or that gut's going on, not necessarily say cut them out of your life and never see them again, like, because that might be a bit tricky. But it's just being wise, and maybe you reduce the time that you spend with that person, or before or after you spend time with that person, do something that you know that will help enrich you and help you out. So I've heard that too, that you are the sum of, you're the average sum of the five people in your life. I flipped that up,
that you spend the most time with.
Think
of it, if it's raining outside, you're going to put a raincoat on. If you're going to spend time with somebody that drains you, put that suit of armor or that raincoat, just let it slide off. Don't pay too much attention to what they're saying, and have the awareness that this person is doing their best. It might not feel good to me, they're doing their best, I'm going to spend a bit of time with them, and then I'm going to leave and I'm going to go and do that other thing.
So Tasmin, big ask, big question here, and maybe we can both provide one, but what is that one thing that we want our listeners to do that today, that one action that they can do today that will get them to step out of their comfort zone? How would you answer that question?
I'll answer it with the way I do it. So one of my grandchildren will ask me to tell them stories and not a book story. What were your adventures? She'll ask me. Tell me about your adventures. So when I think about my day, my week, my life, I think when I'm 70, 80, and they're asking me about my life, is it going to be filled with adventures or filled with regrets? What story am I going to tell them? Because I don't want to be saying, oh, you know, I did same old, same old. I want to be able to tell them. I gave talks and I had a podcast and I wrote a book and I went on these holidays. And, you know, I want to be telling them things that they think, wow. That's me, because a lot of them will call me, Smart. Tell me about your adventures. I want them to think, oh, she did some good cool stuff.
That's a lovely way to think. That's a lovely, yeah. What adventures will you be able to tell others when you're, yeah, lovely. It's what my one action would be, start writing that plan, because you've all got that one thing that's been in your brain that you want to do. You already know what it is. Yeah, you already know. Be honest with yourself. You know what that thing is that you want to do that's going to step you out of your comfort zone. So whether you are digital or whether you're pen and paper, just start writing it down. Visualize it. Visualize how that looks and start making a plan. That's what
Sarah, we need to do an episode on visualization, because you've mentioned it a few times. I think we really do, because okay, I'm going to really, really quickly add one more point. All of those points that Sarah has told you about, all of those things that are in your plan, in the morning of the day that you're going to take that step, visualize yourself doing that step before you've actually done it, and at nighttime, visualize yourself having taken that step. And then repeat, repeat, repeat.
Rinse, repeat, do.
Rinse, repeat, yes.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you. So that is the end of this episode. So I really, really hope we have inspired people to step out of their comfort zone, and we've given you the ways to do that. I mean, you've got all those steps and you can go boldly and get familiar with the unfamiliar.
Brilliant. Love it.
So, Tasmin, what have we got in store for our listeners next week?
Oh, we're going to be talking about the subject of self-belief and self-image and how those two things play a fundamental part in your ability to change.
Lovely, lovely. And I want to urge you all, so if you've liked this episode and you've liked the topic that we've talked about, I want to urge you to check out a previous episode, and I will link to it in the show notes. But that episode is many types of self-care, because I'm very aware that as we're stepping outside of our comfort zone, we need to learn how to look after ourselves when we're pushing ourselves a little bit, right? So I will link to many types of self-care in the show notes, and I really urge you to check out that episode. And a reminder that episodes go out every single Thursday. Every single Thursday there is content for you to consume, so make sure to subscribe so you always get notified. If you subscribe on your preferred platform of choice, whenever there's a new episode and it's ready for you to listen, you'll get a little reminder. So we'll pop a link in the show notes for that as well. Basically, just go to the show notes. And reminder that if you love what me and Tasmin are doing, there's ways that you can support us. Give us a one-off donation. There are costs involved in running a podcast. And for less than a drink from your favorite coffee shop, you can support us. And also leave us a review. We're SEO people. We know how those algorithms work. So yes, those are my two asks. So Tasmin, that's it. Shall we say goodbye and take care of yourself, and until next time?
Goodbye, take care of yourself, until next time.
Beautifully. said.